Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to this very special edition of Atlanta Business Radio. It is time for another exciting and informative edition of The Pioneer's Path, a show about visionaries brought to you by our good friends at the Terraform Group and hosted by our illustrious colleague, Mr. Tim O'Connor. How are you today, man?
I have just been assigned the word illustrious for the first time in my life. And so I am fantastic, Stone. Thanks for having us in the studio today. We're going to have a great show for us. Today on The Pioneer's Path, I have a couple of very good friends of mine that I've known for a really long time. They've inspired me. They've challenged me. They've kept me out of trouble. And I could swear a couple times they throw me over the cliff without knowing it. But all in all, it's been an amazing relationship with these two guys. I have Dennis Warden with the Ignite Advisory Group. And I have Chris Nedza with Zsor. So, guys, welcome to the studio.
It's great to be here and to see you again.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yep.
You too, Dennis. Chris?
Yeah, das ist gut.
Okay, good. I was just checking to make sure your mic was on because I did give the signal to cut him off early. But no, Dennis, I'd love to start with you. And the whole point of The Pioneer's Path, as you recall from our conversation, it's basically a show and a platform for visionaries to come, share their experience, share their journey, their ups, their downs, so that we can collectively, pour some wisdom into the next generation of visionaries. So thanks again for being here.
Absolutely. And I'm not sure what a pioneer is. Is a pioneer somebody that's my age? Or is a pioneer, exactly why am I here?
Sure. Oh, I forgot to mention that in our pre-show interview. No, a pioneer is someone you can always tell them because they have arrows in their back.
That's it. Right? Absolutely.
And they're doing things that no one else has done before. Or they see things differently and they act on that. But yeah, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And the reason I joke about that is because at this season of life where I'm at, this is not my first rodeo, and this is not my first business. Mm-hmm. And as you know, a background in broadcasting, but having run at several different companies, having started a couple of companies, having failed at a couple of companies that I've started. So I've, and having started another company, mm-hmm. the Ignite Advisory Group, 2.5 years ago, and to see it just really coming into its own is very exciting. But mm-hmm. But you're right. A pioneer does have a few arrows in his backside and mm-hmm. or hers. And mm-hmm. But that's how you learn, right? Fail forward.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So tell us about what you're doing right now. And then at some point, how you even got there. What was your path to getting to where you are today? So tell us about Ignite Advisory Group.
Absolutely. Ignite Advisory Group is a event and speaker management company. We started it about 2.5 years ago and have about 70 speakers that we represent. And this year we're producing about 55 different events. Okay. And those events we're doing, from total turnkey to just coming in and managing the on-site. Now, we're doing a big one in Vegas in a couple of weeks. They called us because George W. Bush is coming in. You got the Secret Service to deal with. You've got everything. And so they're asking us to come in. And so the owner of the show can concentrate on having a good show and not have to be worrying about the Secret Service and somebody like Chris showing up. Right.
Chris, sounds like the nuclear option.
Oh, no, he's back.
There is an APB, I think, somewhere in the Secret Service with his picture on it.
Oh, yeah, we know.
Yeah, it's on all their milk jugs, I think. But
Nice, amongst friends.
Yes. Oh, you're next. But tables are turned. I love this. Yeah. So, so that's what Ignite Advisory. You have 70 speakers. I mean, is there a particular lane or something they all specialize in, or is it across the board?
No, from leadership to self-improvement to inspiration, across the board. Mm. And from a Jocko, a Navy SEAL that we do all of his events and who is a you talk about a man's man. Mm-hmm. That's the guy.
Yeah, he's no joke.
Yeah, and you don't want to joke with him,
right?
Especially in an alley at night.
Make a note to self: never have Jocko on our show.
Yeah. No. So anyway,
I will be dead.
Well, you won't know it because it will have happened so fast. But anyway, so, you know, so to, you know, from a Jocko to to a Shanti Philbin, mm-hmm. who has written a book, that has the male factor, which is, how do corporations, deal with women, mm-hmm. In coming up through the ranks as far as leaders in the marketplace. So
they call them boss nowadays.
That's how they deal with them.
Yeah. They're in charge.
Well, yeah. Most of us that have been married as long as I have learned that a long time ago.
Shanti actually was a member of a group that we've all been associated with here in town with Iron Sharpening Iron. And were you guys there when he came and talked?
Her husband.
Her husband. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. With her husband. But she, the findings that they both had on the opposite gender were just amazing.
Oh, yeah. Incredible content and all research based, which is what her unique thing is.
So that he's an example of one of your speakers, content providers.
Right.
But that's just like the front end, but there's so much more on the back end.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's why I chose the name Ignite, mm-hmm. is because what happens on a platform and what happens on this broadcast, mm-hmm. is that we're going to ignite in the listener. Hey, you know what? Chris did that. I think maybe I could do that too. So we're igniting. But the problem is with ignition, if there's no fuel to keep that ignition going, mm-hmm. it was like, hey, that felt good.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have liked to have done it had I been resourced. So our whole thing is we provide a platform for speakers to speak. The speaker's there, he has or she has their book, but then what are the additional resources? What's the tale that comes behind that's going to help them fulfill mm-hmm. that now desire to become a better leader, to build a company to do that. So that's the third element that we do, is then coming alongside developing all those resources.
Interesting. How'd you come up with this model?
Well, probably about 30 plus years in radio, working with thought leaders, and then as VP of marketing for John Maxwell, mm-hmm. author, publisher, thought leader, guru in leadership, having worked with him, then president of a sales training company in the mortgage banking industry. That was kind of my deal. Mm. And then at the ripe age of 65, I said, hey, most people are retiring. That's a stupid idea. I'm not ready to do that. So why not start another company?
Yeah.
So I did. That's when I started Ignite, right. So the thing is that what we need to learn, I think, as individuals starting building companies is to look back. It doesn't matter if you're 30, 40, 50, 60. Look back. What have I learned that I've enjoyed doing?
Right.
What failures have I had that I don't need to repeat, mm-hmm. but that I learned from? And then find that thing that's really a passion of yours. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a book.
What's the name of it?
The name of the book is The Rancher's Gift.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to the website, theranchersgift.com. Take your hands off that.
Hey, man, I'm a speed reader.
So anyway.
But that wouldn't happen to be available on
no
Amazon.
Pictures.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it wouldn't be unless you wanted to go to Amazon.com.
Oh, okay.
And just go to The Rancher's Gift, and mm-hmm. you just click on a little button there,
mm-hmm.
and they'll actually send it to your home.
That's
Can
amazing.
You imagine?
Every time I do that, I'm just not as rich as I used to be. That's
The cool thing is, first off, is I was just on the phone with a publisher before going on the air, mm-hmm. is the book's not actually available until the 15th of May.
Okay.
But Amazon doesn't wait until the publisher says release. So mm-hmm. they released it early, but the audiobook and the Kindle will be available on the 15th.
Okay.
But the subtitle, the reason I mentioned that, self-promotion.
Oh, it was coming out anyway, so I'm glad you did it.
So anyway, no, the reason I mentioned that is the subtitle to that as a modern day parable of living life on purpose. Mm. So the whole idea is, the rancher teaching his nephew, the truths of living a life on purpose. And And that is, you know, if we can learn from our mistakes, as I said, if we can learn from those things that that we've observed in others or that they've taught us, the wisdom of the rancher, and then apply those in a business. I mean, you and I mean, the three of us are in this room because we've known each other. We've learned a lot from Chris in our times in various organizations we've been a part of, from his work with Zizor and other things he's done, both mistakes and successes.
Right.
And probably learned more from his wife, who is very successful in business.
Right.
I'll say.
But all that to say, we learn from others, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, that is the exciting thing. It's about number one, building a business, finding what your love or your passion is. You know, I'm very passionate about providing a platform for thought leaders to share their thoughts, express them, and then they go home feeling really good because they did what they wanted to do. I feel really good because I gave them a platform to be able to do it. And at the end of the day, I also then feel really, really good because myself combined with the speaker made an impact on, we can call them followers, we can call them listeners. And at the end of the day, that to me, again, shameless self-promotion, is living a life on purpose.
Right.
And so I know why I do what I do. So that's why I'm on the, you know, that's why I say, yeah, absolutely, Tim, I'd love to be on the Pioneer broadcast, not because I'm a pioneer, but because I love the opportunity to help people live life on purpose.
Right. So I really appreciated in our pre-show interview, your point of encouragement. And I told you, I said, my listenership's probably around two now. So I'm up to two people who will actually hear this. So thanks for coming in again, guys.
And that copy, this copy's for your other listener.
Thank you.
Listening.
So take this home to your wife.
Gave it to me.
Well, actually, my wife doesn't even listen. Maybe my dad, but she refuses. The thing that you said in all seriousness was very encouraging. You said, you know, it doesn't matter how many people listen, it just matters if that one person that's supposed to hear this listens. And it sounds like that drives a lot of what you do too.
Absolutely.
Hopefully you have more than two people show up for your events, but you cast a wider net. But so why parable? Why choose a parable as the story type?
Yeah, and look at the size of the book. It's a gift book. The reason for it is I didn't have anything else to say. No, the reason is that the parable is it's a story. It's telling a truth, you know, in a story form. So as John Maxwell, who had been a mentor of mine, though I served as his VP of marketing, you know, was like, he always said, you know, put the cookies on the lowest shelf, you know, put it down there. So this is a story that, whether male or female, whether young or old, you know, you can get into the mind of the rancher and you can feel like you're living in Montana, in Gallatin, Montana, and you've got the whole ranch scene going on and you've got that happening. But as you go along, you're learning these truths that the uncle, the rancher, is teaching his nephew. And so I chose the story format because it, the majority of books don't get read. And business books, maybe like 5% get actually read all the way through. But, and most of them, you know, most of us will quit after the first chapter. You know, in fact, I was with a guy from EY last evening, and he said, the first chapter of this book was so intriguing, I couldn't wait to get to the second chapter. And wrote it on purpose that way because, you know, to draw the reader through the book and then ultimately at the end of the book to, you know, to be able to sit down and write out. If you're starting a business, if you're, you know, whatever stage in life is, you know, how do I live a life on purpose? So we take you, here's how to write your life plan. And if you'll do that and include your business in there, then that is it's a better way to begin a roadmap to success.
Right. So a lot of people, and I know I've been absolutely in this camp, we don't always understand the purpose of work and how business can play into your core purpose as who you are when you, you know, you're born. I mean, why do that? Does your book talk about that?
Well, yeah, it talks about the fact everybody has a purpose, but so I believe, you know, each one of us are born with gifts and talents. Mm-hmm. And there's somewhere along that stage in life where we say, you know, I really enjoy doing this. And then we say, you know, I can be paid? I can actually be paid to do this? But then there's somewhere in that where, you know, we've got to decide, am I doing this for the dollar? Or am I doing this because this is what I love to do? And the majority of people, as you read, any online article, blog you would read, any print talks about how dissatisfied people are with their job, with their work, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they lost sight of what they love to do. If they knew what their purpose was, their purpose is beyond making a paycheck. There's a purpose in providing for our family. Sure. There's all these purposes. But boy, if I have a purpose in living a life that, you know, is helping other people to find their purpose, mm-hmm. then I can be a greeter at Walmart, right?
Right.
I could be an Uber driver. I was in Detroit, flew up to Detroit Monday morning, had a meeting, had an Uber driver pick me up, spent 20 minutes, 30 minutes with him in the car, went back to the, you know, flew back to the airport, or went from Uber back to the airport, flew back home on Monday. So all that to say, that Uber driver had an opportunity, had he wanted to make an impact on me, more than just driving me.
Right.
If he knew what his life purpose was.
Right.
And it's beyond just making that $20 or $30 that I paid him, you know?
Right.
And at the same time, I'm sitting in the back seat. What's my purpose? What kind of questions am I asking Husan? Mm-hmm. You know, whatever my driver is, right. You know, Chris.
Right.
You know, what am I asking? Mm-hmm. And am I leading him into, you know, discovering, you know, what am I going to do? You know, mm-hmm. All that to say, it's, I look at work as an opportunity to express the God-given talents that I have. And ultimately I want to do everything that doesn't, it's not about Dennis, right? Mm-hmm. For me personally,
right.
It's about what can I do that, brings glory to God, who is my, you know, mm-hmm. who is my gift giver, mm-hmm. of any talents that I have,
Right.
So,
right. Interesting. Yeah. So, it's fascinating. I cannot wait to read that book. Okay. Fast forward, it gets turned into a movie. Who's the lead actor?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Would you like to?
I'm busy. No.
Oh, okay.
Chris?
I was on the phone with...
what's the pay?
Yes. Are you familiar? I don't know if you... There's an actor by the name of Kevin Sorbo. Kevin did...
Hercules.
So I was on the phone with Kevin last week. He also produces movies. Mm-hmm. And he said, first off, he said, boy, that'd be a great movie. I said, I kind of think so. And I kept the movie rights. So I think that would be good. But I said the same. But I am kind of looking for a strong, you know, male figure that could be the rancher.
Did he bite? Anybody?
I think so. But back to the audiobook, which will be available May 15th on Amazon.
Nice.
I'm getting better.
You're good.
I specifically went to find a voice talent mm-hmm. that had worked for me at one of the radio stations who had a Sam Elliott sound, nice. Right? That to me is... That's a match. Yeah,
that's right.
So George McNerlin, who did the voice talent for me, has that kind of Sam Elliott feel, you know, on that. Mm-hmm. But one final thing about the book mm-hmm. is that there's a national speaker, a woman who's a national speaker, has tens of thousands of followers on her blog and online and everything. And I went to hear her speak, and I hadn't titled the book yet. And she was speaking, and she kept talking about her husband, but she never even, She said she would keep referring to the farmer and me, the farmer. And it was everything, the farmer. Well, the farmer was her husband who has a large farm in Canada, right? Mm-hmm. And, but it was interesting how she, this word thing that was going on, right? So we went out to dinner that evening with two other couples and we're all sitting there. And I asked the women, I said, talk to me about the farmer, you know, and there, and then I asked the guys, you know, talk to me. Now, when Anne was talking about the farmer, what did you picture? And so when I wrote the book, you know, with my cohort, Jeff Dunn on it, was how do we allow the female reader, the male reader, to all, they all got a different picture of what the rancher looks like and what he is. And so the book is written in a way that, you know, it appeals to both genders. Mm-hmm. And then I had to put a little bit of, you know, you put a little, what Western novel or what book has got a little romance in there, you know? So you got,
nice.
Brian falls in love with Kayla, and, nice. But he learns a lesson there. He learns life's greatest lesson from Kayla.
Which is?
No, we got to read the book to listen.
Dang it. Dang it.
Saw that twinkle in his eye.
What a hook.
What a hook.
He's done this
before. I just bit on that, didn't I?
Yeah. Don't set the drag too hard on Chris.
Yeah, no. But
well, that's wonderful. So could this book have been written 20 years ago by you? 10 years ago?
Yeah, probably not. Certainly, it probably could have 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's, no, it, this was of all things. So again, back to, I mean, this is a show program about, you know, starting businesses, growing businesses, businesses being successful, learning from our failures, all of those things, right? Being pioneers, mm-hmm. you know, and that. So the, so a lot of that is in this book. But one thing that I've learned, you know, having staffs from 5 to 180, you know, that have, you know, worked for me. And so not huge companies, but the one thing that I've appreciated my entire career as a leader was more than just leading people, was what is my legacy going to be with mm-hmm. them? Mm-hmm. You know, is because, you know, I look at, you know, an employee, I'd love to, you know, there's some employees you want to keep forever, right? There's some you wish, you know, what was I thinking,
right.
you know? But anyway, but whatever period of time we have somebody in our life, you know, what's my legacy going to be? Mm-hmm. So when they look back and say, you know, I worked for Dennis, you know, and, you know, this period of time, and I learned more about this, you know, about that's integrity. I learned more about this. I learned. And so legacy has always been really important to me.
Right.
And success in business that's not a bad legacy. Mm-hmm. Failures is part of our legacy too. But then what do we build on top of those? So all that to say is that my son-in-laws came to me about 3 years ago and said, you know, Dennis, you're always talking about legacy. You know, you've worked for some of the top authors, New York Times bestseller authors. Why don't you write a book that has to do with legacy? Mm-hmm. And so that's where the Rancher's Gift started.
Right.
And I knew that I had to tell it through a different voice mm-hmm. Because I'm not a, number one, I'm not a speaker. Number two, I'm not a corporate trainer. I grew up in Minnesota and wish I'd been a rancher in Montana.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I chose to, you know, put myself where I'd really love to be.
Yeah.
And,
I know when I was younger, I was fascinated by that word and the thought legacy, right? The thought of legacy, building a legacy. And dumbly, and I don't know if I'm alone, probably am, or if I share this with other people who are younger, who think I've got plenty of time, and at some point, then I'll start thinking about my legacy. What I realize now, looking back, is you build your legacy every day. And if you're not intentional, the world will define what your legacy is for you. And it's not always going to be positive, because in the world is not set up to create a, you know, whatever legacy you want. You have to be intentional about that every day.
Right. And those are truths that we as parents can begin instilling in our kids. Mm-hmm. And it, so here's a very simple one. It's like, so the rancher's building a barn, right? And the young guy who's a graduate of Wharton School, you know, he's going to be take over his dad's company, all this stuff. He's out helping, and his uncle's teaching him. And so they're ready to build the barn, and he looks at the stack of lumber, and he notices that the lumber is not new lumber, but it's old lumber. In fact, it's a he finds out it's a barn that was torn down in the Northeast, and the rancher had it moved to Montana. And he, so the lesson that he taught in that was that the strength that is found in wood that has been, you know, used over time versus a plank that we would go get at Home Depot. And, you know, and a year and a half later, not because of Home Depot or Lowe's or anything, because of time, it's now warped. It's not, it hasn't been tested by time. And so there, that he, there's those small little lessons that you can take this from this story and then teach your kids. You know, it's just simple. You don't have to use that illustration. Another one is, you know, are the nails that he uses, you know, and various things. So we use different things, and that's what we as parents can, you know, or as owners of a company, you know, how are we teaching our, you know, our employees? Are we just, you know, are we using book knowledge, or are we using, you know, hey, they're, you know, are we using something that they can get their hands on and say, you know what? Yeah, mm-hmm. I understand that.
Right. Right.
There was a good teacher by the name of Jesus that kind of was really good at that, you know?
Yeah, it was amazing. He only had 3 years to do it, but what an amazing legacy.
Yeah.
Right. That we're all following. Yeah. So wonderful. Well, Dennis, would you be willing to hang out for just a minute? Let me.
Yeah, I'd love to hear Chris's story.
Oh, I know you can't wait. Yeah. And but yeah, so I can't either. But yeah, come back for the lightning round.
Yeah,
would that be all right?
I'd love to.
Awesome, thank you, Dennis. Next up, we've got Chris Nedza from Z's, or I should say, the Chris Nedza.
There's actually two of us.
Yeah,
my nephew's name is Chris Christopher,
but he is a Chris Nedza. You are the Chris Nedza. <Yeah. laughs> Chris, welcome.
Hey, man. Thanks. Dennis, that was awesome. I'll tell you what, I learned a ton. Mm. Like, I love how the wife, you know, referred to her husband as the farmer. Mm. Now I know why my wife refers to me as the pool boy.
I always thought it was a tan lines.
Yeah, it could be. You know?
I don't know. But
I don't have the speedo on right now, but erase the image.
Yeah, that's all right. I only have two listeners, so it won't be hard. But the good. Welcome to the show, man. And so you and I connected before the show, and but we've known each other for a long time as well. And it's interesting. I think you and I have both seen each other through a lot of ups and downs over the years, and sometimes it's been laughing, sometimes it's been crying, sometimes we didn't know what to do, so we just didn't do anything. But tell us about you and what's your story, man?
All right. Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you about me is if it weren't for my awesome COO, Alan Dandar, my awesome CTO, Ryan Zaffer, my son, Clayton Nedza, Justin and Jack, my team at Z-Zor, they're so amazing that they, because of the job that they do, they allow me to hang out and do what I'm doing, which is basically my job now is to think.
Yeah. So that almost sounded like the end credits to the show. So I think you may have fast forwarded. So we will be thanking all of those people later. No, but I'm kidding. Thanks for bringing them up. So tell us, how did they set you free? What does that mean?
Well, okay. So anybody that's been in business for more than a few years is going to have a near-death experience. You will. And there's no such thing as a CEO of a company that has not had an up or down, up and downs. I mean, you're going to have rough go. And just my team is so good and committed and fired up. I get to be a big cheerleader. Mm. And And I'm a mentor and a coach, and they just knock it out, man. And I just get out of the way. I think that's the job of the visionary. You set the vision and let your team, if you can surround yourself with a good team, let them do their job.
Right.
And catch them doing the right things. Praise them, acknowledge them, and let them go because they want to do a good job. So,
what does that look like in your experience or your observation of when a visionary does not let it go, or they don't have someone to do what we call delegate and elevate to? What does that look like?
Well, I mean, you know, there's many different styles of CEOs. A friend of mine, Jeff Sonnenfeld, wrote a book called "The Hero's Farewell." You should read it. It's really amazing. It's about the four styles of leadership. And some people are control freaks, and all the credit they have to take, they have to own, they have to micromanage everything. And I'm not saying, and there are CEOs who are successful about that in that way. That's not me. I'm more of an ambassador. I love people. I love to see them get fired up about what they're doing. And then I just like go. I mean, let them go. They're smart. They're capable. They're energetic. They're enthusiastic. Go. Mm-hmm. So that's what it looks like for me. It doesn't mean that it works for everybody. I've been through a few, what do they say? You kiss a few frogs before you get to that prince sometimes. I've kissed a few frogs. Mm-hmm. But right now in my stage of where we are with our company, we are full on growing like crazy, having the time of our lives. And my team they're just killing it. They're just amazing.
That's awesome. Tell us about Zsor.
So Dennis talked a little bit about purpose, right? And knowing your purpose. And so Zsor came about because my wife, who's a genius, and she's super hot. Anyway.
Yes, all duly noted and yeah. Very well recorded in human history. Yeah. Yes.
She's hot. She really is. And she's super. So she had a bunch of a chain of hair salons, and she could not cut your bangs or your front yard, but man, the girl could run a business like crazy. So it frustrated me because they had a point of sale system that was capturing data all day long. And they had all kinds of reports like every point of sale system has. And I just thought, this is ridiculous. We're spending all our time running reports. Why don't I build an app that extracts the data and gives me exactly what I need, so I know what's happening in the salon. And so that's what we did. That's how Zsor was birthed. And but an unintended consequence happened. And it was that we not only saw what was going on when we walked into the salon, we knew what our employees were doing. And it wasn't out of like, hey, we know what you're doing. We're going to bust you. It was more, I would walk in and I would say to someone, hey, great job. And because we had a lot of locations and I wasn't sure exactly what they were doing. They looked like they were working hard and I wanted them to know I appreciated them, but I didn't have any data really to back it up. And so it kind of falls on deaf ears. So if you say good job to your employees every day, you know, eventually they're like, you know, what are you talking about? You don't know what a good day is because you don't know what I'm doing. Or a manager would walk up to me and say, great, that person has terrible attendance. They've got a terrible attitude. And now we can't fire them like we wanted to because you've told them they're doing a good job. So it's like, man, I was screwed one way or the other. So, but what happened with the Zsor app is we could see their data in real time. So I could walk into a hair salon and I would know exactly what, you know, Bob or Betty was doing. And I could walk in and I didn't have a best employee. I had one employee who was really good at upselling retail. I had one employee who cut hair, like was amazingly productive and cut more hair faster than anybody else. I had another employee who was amazing at growing their customer business. They're all good. So the data allowed me to walk up to someone and say, you know, Bob, you're killing it this week in retail sales. And, or, you know, Betty, your customer count is exploding, or your, whatever the metric is. So I could be specific and I was able to use data to catch them doing things well and, you know, tell them I love them. No HR violation. And it was the absolute truth. And so that's kind of the unintended consequences that Zsor is really, we became really good and experts at employee engagement. So how do you use data to then lift up a person and show them recognition and appreciation?
So this is a powerful tool. Information is always powerful, right?
That's right. That's right.
But it's just a tool. And so equipping your leaders, your shift leaders, your salon managers, your owners, all that stuff with the information is part of the battle. How do you help coach, encourage them to use that information to grow their business?
Well, good question. So our concept is really simple. It's based on two colors. And if I asked you a color, for what color would represent something good, what would you say? And we haven't done this drill, by the way.
Good for me is kind of fuchsia, but
yeah, good.
Most people would say green, I think.
Green, good. Okay. Very good. And bad would be what color? Come on.
Well, it's not magenta, but it's probably red.
Red, right, right. Okay. That's all the training. And that's true. Everything is red or green. So we would just use the data to say, okay, let's get to green. Let's not get it overcomplicated. Mm-hmm. Let's not measure 100 different metrics. Let's go for one or two metrics for a period of time. And everybody on our team, let's go for green. And green mm-hmm. means beat something. Mm-hmm. And in our case, we want you to today, just for today, just get to green. Like maybe it's serving more customers today than you served the same Friday as 1 year ago. You know, just year over year comparison. Let's just get to green and let's everybody focus on that. Or let's sell one more bottle of shampoo today than we did 1 year ago or two bottles. And, you know, you do it for the day, you do it for a week, you do it for the month. And guess what happens to your year?
It turns green.
Flipping green, man.
Yes.
Woo! So that's how it works. And yeah. And we teach our salon owners and our customers to focus on a metric or two for a period of time. Mm-hmm. Get everybody define the process, teach them that process, and then catch them doing it. And that's basically it.
That is incredibly hard to do in a business environment where you have, you know, remote locations. They're filled with these pesky things known as people that all think differently and act differently, and they come from different experiences, backgrounds. They're bringing baggage in with them, whether or not they're bringing whatever worries they have in their personal life to bear, or they're not. How in the world is a reasonable person expected to not only drive the correct behavior, but to propagate the right culture and all that stuff without a tool like yours?
Well, in my opinion, it's been very, very difficult. In fact, most people, I mean, everybody knows this, that the four people that are listening now, because it's doubled since Dennis spoke.
Oh, you guys are bringing the heat.
We're bringing it, right? If you've run a company, you know that a lot of times the CEO will have the business model du jour. Mm. So, hey, we're going to go do this. And then a couple weeks later, they go to a seminar and they come back and go, hey, we're going to try that.
Yes.
It is very difficult. And yeah. I didn't create Zsor to create Zsor. I created Zsor because the company that we were working with, the point of sale, it was a multi-billion dollar company. That's with a B. The point of sale system, they didn't understand what we were doing and why it was important. Mm-hmm. And out of frustration of not being able to connect with my people in a very easy way, I had to go ahead and build it. So you know what they say, if you can't join them, beat them, right?
So that I haven't heard that.
Yeah.
Note to self.
Yeah. Okay.
That's good.
Yeah. So anyway, the point is that if you just focus on a few things, and the other piece, you have to be intentional. So what I mean by that is, and I love what your book is about, Dennis, because it is, you have to be intentional. Like every morning I make the bed. You know, like I know that makes my wife super duper happy. And so I make the bed and I have to get up in the morning and I am intentional about making that bed. Now it only takes me 2 minutes to do, right? But I do it every day and it's intentional. Something I think about her, she knows I think about her. It's a simple act and it's just an act of, you know, she doesn't ask me to do it. I just do it. Hmm. If leadership will just take 2 minutes a day and look for people and catch them doing the right things, they can be intentional and they can recognize people. And then the culture is, I mean, it's just our natural human instinct is I want to be noticed and I want to be recognized. Mm. So if you set the goal and then you start catching the people that are doing it well, the people who are not doing it well, they will want to know, how in the heck do I do that? Mm. So that's what Zsor does. It's a very simple tool, but it's extremely powerful. So that's what we teach people to do, and that's how it works. Mm. End of show, right?
All right. That's a wrap.
Bam.
Something like
that. Bam. Bam.
Pick up that mic. You just dropped it over there. Chris, you've always impressed me as somebody that if you didn't know something, you would go out and just teach it to yourself and you'd learn it. Coding comes to mind.
Yeah.
I mean, who does that? Like, I mean, hey, I've got nothing else going on except all these other 500 things. I know I'm going to go be a coder and teach myself to code so I can solve some business problems on the inside, or at least know what I'm talking about or whatever. What is that?
I don't know. I think that it's just curiosity. I'm a curious person. And so like when we hire people, I'm looking for people who are smart. I'm looking for people who have energy. I'm looking for people who have integrity. And I'm looking for people who are curious. Hmm. So if you have those four things, you're for me. Because I think about it, I'm like, man, I'm not really good at everything, but once if my customer has a problem, I'm curious why it's not solved or why we can't solve it. So I'm a curious person. I'm curious minded. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a really important skill set for people that we want to work with.
So curiosity as a skill set. Do you think?
Ooh, that's probably a bad word. Okay. Yeah. I knew I'd get nailed.
No,
that.
That's for the next episode of Looney Bin Central. No, I'm kidding. So, but it's not really a skill, but a
characteristic.
Skill,
yeah.
A skill can be learned. Can someone learn to be curious? I wonder.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
I'm just curious.
I think everybody's curious, really. It's just whether they give a rat's patootie about what you're asking them about. Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm very curious minded. So that's why I didn't want to learn how to build websites because I was looking to make money at it. I was like, how does that work? Yeah. What is this thing HTML? Like, what is that? So I just was curious. So I wanted to learn how to do it. And my mom and dad, I give them a lot of credit. My dad was one of these guys that said, first of all, my mother is the most conservative person in the world. So she tosses around nickels like they weigh as much as a manhole cover. She is super conservative. My dad, other end of the spectrum. So, but what my dad gave me, so my mother taught me how to save and you know, be a steward of my money and steward of resources. My dad, on the other end of the spectrum, is a wild man. And he has had more businesses than you could shake a stick at. And the way he came about that is because he believed, if that guy can do it, why can't I? Mm. So I think that kind of came from my parents.
Yeah. Mm. Who's the best leader you ever worked under, and why?
The best leader I ever worked under,
mm-hmm. worked for.
Well, let's see. I started my first company out of college, so my list of people working for is pretty short.
I'm sorry, I mixed up my guest question list. Sorry, those for Dennis. So.
I would say not. I would say I've learned more from the people I work with.
Yeah,
and on my team. Than anything. I mean, I just, and my customers, I would say my customers are really amazing. Mm-hmm. So I learn a ton from them. And I give you a great example. There's a customer of mine, his name is David Wagner. And I was speaking in front of a leadership team of Estee Lauder. And there's this guy, David Wagner, sitting in the audience. I don't know who he was. I'm just talking to him that night at dinner. And he goes, I love what you talk about engaging your people and recognizing them, just taking a minute to say, hey, I'm proud of you through your app. I love that. And he said, let me tell you my story. And I'm telling his amazing person. You guys look him up, David Wagner. But he was a hairdresser and he had a lady that walked in, every 6 weeks was a customer. And so she'd come every 6 weeks, get her hair cut. And then, in the middle, like 3 weeks, in the middle of her kind of rhythm, she walks in and she says, and I'm paraphrasing the story. I could have it off a little bit. Mm. But she basically says, hey, he goes, what are you doing here? She goes, I just want you to make me look beautiful today. So he does. They spend 30 minutes and they have a great day, a good afternoon. And she leaves. And he's like, well, that was good. Goes to the next customer. And a couple of weeks later, he gets a note. And the note said, I want to let you know that I came in to look beautiful. I wanted you to make me, because I was going to go home and commit suicide that day. Mm. Mm. And I get choked up every time I talk about that. She said, because you made me feel, you know, like I was worth something. Mm. I got help and I didn't do it. And to your point, Dennis, the purpose, I think we're here. Mm. We don't know who's looking. We don't know who's watching. But just to take a minute to say, I noticed you, I recognize you, is unbelievably powerful. Mm. Mm. So kudos to you, David. And
so David thought he just cut hair for a living. Mm-hmm. Not even close.
Yep.
No, he made people beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a purpose. So we can, I think if we all dig deep enough and long enough, you know, we can discover that purpose. It'll be revealed to us. And it's way more, as to Dennis's point, it's, you just kind of get paid for it, mm-hmm. right? It's not the purpose of what you're doing. Wow. That's a great story.
Isn't it? He's an amazing person. And to me, that's what the Z-Zor was, that connected.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what we're about, is having an owner, a manager, taking a minute and just recognizing their people. And they don't have to be the person that's on time every day, but every person has value. If you will build your relationship based on, let me start, you know, men, we see red first. Mm-hmm. You know, I would look at our data from our salons and I would say, God, honey, my wife, Cindy, Cindy, what's wrong with those people? They've seen 100 customers and they only sold 2 bottles of shampoo. Mm. You know, they're all in the red. What, you know, we need to fix that because we're men. We're fixers, right? And she would say, that's great, knucklehead. you miss the person that's up 300% and the person who's up 48% and the person who's up 30%. Aren't those people good enough for you? And I would go, ooh, not feeling so good. And it just so happened. I'm like, you're right. You know, there are people that are doing amazing things, but as a man, we look at the red. And so she really taught me, I guess if there's a leader that's taught me a ton and influenced me, it's her, is that, man, if you just recognize people and catch them doing the right things, the rest follows. And that's really been a key to our success at Z-Zor and our customers who do that, you know.
That's awesome. You equip them to catch people in the act of doing the right thing.
Right. Versus correct. Reports, you look at them to correct, to fix the problem. We're looking at the data and provide a tool to owners so they can catch their people versus correct.
That's a heck of a purpose. Mm. So let me ask you one. Actually, if I could ask both of you guys, it's time for the lightning round. But it's really not that fast. So what would you...
Bam.
Yeah, there you go. Dennis, what would you say is the biggest mistake you ever made on your path in business?
In business. Probably.
I'm glad you went first. I can think.
Yeah.
Yeah. The, I think I would have to look at it at looking at failure as failure instead of looking at failure as learning. Mm. So, you know, incredible career. I get first time ever in my life, I get fired. Right. And I'm devastated, right? But if it's going to happen to everybody, so I guess sometime, unless you work for yourself and then you fire yourself daily, right?
Right.
But so I had this incredible sense of failure. And I think, you know, and what I didn't learn from that was that was part of my journey to success. I didn't look at it as, you know what, there are bridges that we have that allow us to learn. So I, you know, that bridge got knocked out from underneath me. It didn't take me to the island that I wanted to go to. So it shook me for several months. It didn't destroy me, but it shook me. And now so my lesson that I've learned from that is, you know, take failure and don't get up right away and shake it off and look at everybody and make sure nobody saw you fail. But, you know, spend a little time. Why did I fail? What did I learn from it? What did I don't need to do again? And so for me, I guess, you know, looking back, that would be not learning from failure, but allowing failure to, as my male pride, you know, to, you know, get in the way.
Yeah. almost like, that's our default setting, right? Is to have whatever the current circumstances are define who we are and our identity and all that.
Sure. You got to win on the basketball court. You got to win. Mm-hmm. It's all about winning, winning, winning. And we're not good at losing, number one. And then we're not good at learning from it. And that's where a great coach can come alongside of somebody and take them through that process of what can we learn from this and how can we become a better player, a better business person.
Yeah.
So in the coaching side, I mean, that's a critical piece of any business person's life is to have a coach come alongside them and help them grow through all of those life experiences.
Wow. Good. Chris, what was your biggest mistake?
Well, you know, they say that good judgment comes from experience, which usually comes from bad judgment. I have a lot of good judgment. It took me a while to do this, but a decision-making process that's really simple. And if anybody got anything out of today, I would hope that they would follow this simple decision-making process. And any decision that I'm making, whether it's a hire, whether it's a strategic partnership, anything. Number one, I seek wise counsel. So I have a group of men that I call up and I bounce it off of them. And they're not smart, all of them, mm-hmm. but they are wise.
What? Wait. One, why'd you look at me when you said that?
I had a crick in my neck, as they say down south. I didn't say you weren't wise. You said that, not me. But they're wise. They're men of faith. They're not perfect, but they're men of faith. Mm-hmm. So that's number one is wise counsel. And I don't ask them questions for them to validate me. I ask them questions. I want to listen. I want to understand what they're telling me because they don't have a dog in the fight. They just want to get, they love me. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to give me good, wise counsel. So that's first. And my wife, by the way, is one of my wise counselors. The second thing I do is I inquire of the Lord. I mean, I pray about it. And I'm like, God, you know, like, what do I need to do? Now, I do not have the burning bush talking to me as the response mechanism. So like, I don't hear Moses. Christopher, don't do that. I don't. So the third piece of my thing is I give God a minute. And the way God talks to me is I don't do a thing until I go through those two other processes. And then one day I will wake up in the morning and I know without a shadow of a doubt, I know that is exactly what I need to do or not do. Hmm. So that is my biggest lesson learned and my biggest failure because I didn't have that. I thought I was so smart. Mm. You know, I had degrees and education and all that kind of crap. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. There's wise counsel and the Lord is there to help me. So
seek wise counsel.
Inquire of the Lord.
Inquire of the Lord and then
give it a minute.
Give God a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah. Good. Okay. You guys did pretty good on that round. Let's go on to the next one. We're almost done. So what's the next big idea, Chris? What is the thing for you that is like, wow?
Well, I have a lot of wows. Honestly, I've got like a gajillion ideas. Mm-hmm. One thing is my team completely stresses out when I give them my ideas because mm-hmm. they one of my decision-making processes is I sort of go throw things on the wall and kind of seek opinions and stuff. Some people think that I'm actually going to do it. I'm really just like, you know, look, hey, I think getting an RV would be good. Get a camper would be fun. So my wife thinks that I may go buy a thing. And no, I'm just kind of testing it out. if my team hears this and anybody else hears this, for me, it is all about the data and it is about continuing to, use the data to help push forward and engage people, mm-hmm. engage employees. So we are absolutely. I'm going to talk to Dennis about I'm on a speaking tour, so I got to get my gig wrapped up. But the biggest thing for us is putting a model out there that people can take and run with it. It's very simple, but yeah, that's the big thing for me.
Good. So expanding what you're doing today.
Yep. And then just get better on the technology. Continue to, I mean, there's so much stuff happening. And if you're curious, it's out there, man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dennis was.
Yeah. Well, I love that on the technology mm-hmm. side, because that's, I am working on, that's why I was in Detroit, that's why I'm out in LA next week, a whole new way to do events.
Really?
And it's all based on not leaving live events behind, but it's all based on where's technology taking us and how can we impact not just a few, but hundreds of thousands. So that's, to me, how can I marry those two and the energy of a live audience, the everything that goes on there, but then how can we do events in a different way, which ultimately fulfills my, again, the whole purpose for the speaker, for the event, for the attendee. So I'm pumped, putting everything behind it.
Yeah.
And we're going to do our first one in January. So,
awesome. So yeah, I could tell you're clearly lit up by that. I mean, you can't see it unless you're in the studio, but you were 6'9" coming in. I think you're 7'3" now.
Yeah. And handsome.
And, yeah.
And 35.
Debonair.
Yeah.
So.
Well, as a flight attendant said, as I walked off the plane in Detroit, I'll never forget it. She said, "You have such a beautiful head of hair." And my business partner was with me, and I said, "And I got to live with that."
Yeah. You do have nice hair.
It does, actually. I'm a little envious. That's
funny.
It's friendly. It stands up and waves.
Dennis, if someone wants to keep up with you or understand how to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Easiest is igniteadvisorygroup.com. Just go to www, of course, igniteadvisorygroup.com. Or theranchersgift.com.
Available on Amazon.
Absolutely. Or Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble. Not too bad. Chris, how can someone keep up with you or get in touch with you?
Zezor.net. Zeezor.net. Just go there.
Nice. Guys, thanks very so cool. much for coming on. This has been a blast. I love hanging out with visionaries, especially guys like you that are vulnerable, transparent, and are willing to help the next generation. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right on, brother.
This has been Tim O'Connor, been your host of the Pioneer's Path on Business Radio X and the Atlanta Business Radio. Thanks so much.